ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குரு சரணாரவிந்தாப்யாம் நமஹ. பூர்ணமத பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்திஹி. ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். So we are seeing the third Brahmanam called Udgita Brahmanam in the first Kanda, namely Madhu Kanda of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. And the topic is Prana Upasana, and the Upanishad is first talking about the glory of Prana, which we saw in the last webinar up to Mantra 24. Now in the last three mantras of this Brahmanam, three secondary upasanas are mentioned, which we will read. As mentioned earlier, primary upasana is called Mukhya Vidhi, and the secondary upasanas are called Gauna Vidhi. And let us read mantras 25 to 27. Tasya hai tasya samnaha yasvam veda bhavati hasyasvam tasya vai swaraye vasvam தஸ்மாத் ஆர்த்விஜ்யம் கரிஷ்யன் வாச்சி ஸ்வரமிச்சேத தயா வாச்சா ஸ்வரசம்பன்னயா ஆர்த்விஜ்யம் குர்யாத் தஸ்மாத் யஜ்ஞே ஸ்வரவந்தம் திதுருக்ஷந்த ஏவ அதோ யஸ்யஸ்வம் பவதி பவதி ஹாஸ்யஸ்வம் ய ஏவமேதத் சாம்னஸ்வம் வேத தஸ்ய சாம்னஹ யஸ் சுவர்ணம் வேத பவதி ஹாஸ்ய சுவர்ணம் தஸ்ய வை ஸ்வர ஏவ சுவர்ணம் பவதி ஹாஸ்ய சுவர்ணம் ய ஏவமேதத் சாம்ன சுவர்ணம் வேத தஸ்ய ஹை தஸ்ய சாம்னஹ ய பிரதிஷ்டாம் வேத பிரதிஹ திஷ்டதி தஸ்ய வை வாகேவ பிரதிஷ்டா வாசீஹி கல்வேஷஹ ஏதத் பிராணஹ பிரதிஷ்டிதோ கீயதே Anna Ityuhaika Ahuhu. So in these three mantras, three secondary upasanas are prescribed. Primary upasana is called Mukhya Vidhi and secondary upasana is called Gauna Vidhi. What are the three secondary upasanas? One who wishes to chant Sama, a Samaga, he requires threefold faculties. And what is the threefold wealth, we can call it? One is Swara Sampannaha, rich voice he should have. A poor chanter is one who cannot sing loud. Alpakantaha, so it's no good. Therefore, a person requires Dvani or rich voice. Actually, in learning Veda itself, they have said three people are Patakaha Adamaha. Giti, Shigri, Shirakkampi, Tata Likita Patakaha, Anarthagnyaha, Alpakantaha Cham, Shadaite, Patakaha Adamaha. Geeti, a person who recites Veda mantras like a Geetam, like a song, should be chanted with the proper Swarasandha. Shigri, who recites it very fast, always he has some plane other to catch. Shigri, Shirakkampi, wherever there are Swaras, he is supposed to raise or lower the head and all that thing, that's what he is doing. But he has to actually raise these Swaras, the way it should be recited. Shirakkampi, and instead of nodding the head. Tata Likita Patakaha, a person who reads from a book. Actually, Vedas are supposed to be, they are Shrutis. They are heard and learnt and should be actually kept in the mind also. So, Chirakambi Tata Likita Patakaha, Anarthagnyaha, the one who learns the Veda without understanding the meaning, and Alpakantaha, the person, because Vedas are Dharma Pramanam. One should recite it loud and clear. So, if he is mumbling within his throat, it's not good. So, a person who has got Swarasampannaha. Swarasampanna means rich voice he has got. So he requires dvani or rich voice. That is number one. And second is swaravantaha. Clarity of letters, akshara shuddhi. He should have proper swaras and all. And the third one is the health of all the organs connected with the chanting. Because the teeth, the tongue, the lips, all the vocal cords. So in Shabda Shastra, the ashtasthanas for ucharanam, 8 positions are given. All should be healthy and intact. So, dvani, swara. So, aksharasputatva number 2. and that is Suvarna, and three is Ashtasthanani, walk. So all these things, so the three wells of Sama. So a person who has endowed with all these, so Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says that Sama is nothing but prana, that Sama is nothing but prana. So this has been described actually in the previous mantras also. So joining these together, we say that the wealth of Sama is nothing but the wealth of prana. First we talk about the faculty of person who sings. Then we say the faculty belongs to Sama and Sama goes to prana and prana has got these threefold wealth. So whoever does this upasana, he gets this threefold wealth of swa, swarna and vagunatvam. Then Brihadaranyaka Upanishad makes a pun also. Whomsoever meditates on Suvarnam, he will get both Suvarnam, which is the Akshara Suvarnam, Akshara Shuddhi, and also Swarnam, the gold, which means all the riches. So a person who has Akshara Shuddhi will be on demand. When he recites the mantras, it is so nice and very pleasing to hear. So he will be on demand and he will get a lot of Dakshina also, wealth. Now we enter into the last mantra of this section. Mantra 28 of section 3. Let us read. Athataha pavamanana meva abhyarohaha savai khalu prastota sama prastauti sayatra yatra prastuyat tadetani japet asatoma sadgamaya tamasoma jyotirgamaya mrityorma amritam gamayeti Sayadaha asatoma sadgamayeti mrityurva asat sadamritam mrityorma amritam gamaya amritam va kurviti evaitadaha tapasoma jyotirgamayeti mrityurvai tamaha jyotiramritam mrityorma amritam gamaya amritam ma kurviti evaitadaha Mrityormamritangama yeti natra tirohitami vasti atayani tarani stotrani teshvatmane annadamagayet tasmadute shamvaram vranita yam kamam kamayetatam sa yesha yevam vidudgata atmaneva yajamana yava yam kamam kamayate tamagayeti Taddhaithal loka jideva nahaiva alokyatayaha ashasti ya yeva metat samaveda. So far we discussed prana upasana and the last portion is japa, repetition of the mantra. So two types of upasanas, mukhya upasana is prana upasana and three secondary upasanas are Swara Upasana, Suvarna Upasana, and Vak Upasana, we just read. Now, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says, Upasaka will get complete phalam only when Japa follows Upasana. Japa is complete with Upasana, and Upasana is complete with Japa. Therefore, the Upanishad prescribes Japa. Here, Japa is complete with Upasana, and Upasana is complete with Japa. And japa is given a special name and that is abhyarohaha. In the shloka, it is given a special name called abhyarohaha, which means japa. So Acharya gives a derivation also for this. We go to higher stages in life and higher lokas in life with japam, if done with all earnestness and sincerity, like a staircase. So the mantra to be chanted should be, you know, for here is what? Asatoma sadgamaya, that is the mantra. Tamasoma jyotirgamaya, mrityorma amritam gamaya. Many of you may be familiar with this mantras. So meaning of the mantra is taken contextually here. Remember, we do not discuss Vedanta here. We should be careful. We are still in Karma Kanda and Upasana Kanda only. We are only in Apara Vidya portion. A proper meaning the Upanishad itself will give later. So it's Upanishad says here, asatoma sadgamaya, that means mrityorma amritam gamaya also. Asatoma sadgamaya is equal to mrityorma amritam gamaya. Asat here means mrityuho. And secondly, tamasoma jyotirgamaya also is mrityorma amritam gamaya only. Therefore, all three mantras, they mean the same thing, mrityorma amritam gamaya. The next question will be, what is mrityu then? Here alone Acharya comes to our help. He says, the first Mrityu has one meaning, Mrityorma Amritam Gamaya, where Mrityu means wrong action and wrong meditation. It is said in imagination. Amritam is equal to Shastriyam Karma and Shastriyam Upasana. Hence, Mrityorma Amritam Gamaya, when said in the first line, it means, O Lord, take me from wrong action to right action. This is the prayer here. Similarly, it is prayed, O Lord, take my mind from the wrong Upasana to right Upasana. And the second time Mrityorma Amritam Gamaya, when he says that, here Mrityu means Ajnanam of Shastriya Karma and Upasana. So, the ignorance of what is good karma, what is good Upasana, the ignorance of that is called Mrityu. Amritam means Shastriya Karma Upasana Jnana. So, may you lead us from ignorance of right karma and Upasana to the knowledge of right karma and Upasana. That is a prayer. And the third Mrityorma Amritam Gamaya, that combines both of them. So he says, 1 plus 2 is 3 here. Third Mrityorma Amritam combines the first and the second. Then Amritam refers to the final palam of this, which is Hiranyagarbha Padam. We should be careful, not moksha. Hiranyagarbha Padam here. Because we are still in Upasana Kanda. So when I am taken to right karma and Upasana, I get Hiranyagarbha Padam. Brahmaloka Palam. Hiranyagarbha is Brahmaloka. So Brahmaloka Palam or Hiranyagarbha Sthanam. So this prayer is addressed to Prana Upasana, Prana Devata. So Prana is Hiranyagarbha in the present context. So here Upasya Devata is Pranaha. Therefore to Hiranyagarbha we pray for Hiranyagarbha Padam. To gain this, one should have Karma Upasana Jnanam. And have done Karma and Upasana, through this I may get Hiranyagarbha Padam. That is the understanding here. So this is the interpretation of the shloka. So our prayer is directed to whom? Hiranyagarbha. So this mantra is to be repeated by Hiranyagarbha Upasaka. Finally, a Palashruti is given in keeping with the previous story. Hiranyagarbha Upasaka can do twofold things. He can pray to the Lord to get everything for himself, and pray to the Lord and also get things for others. Therefore, a Prana Upasaka can recommend for oneself and for others. So, Hiranyagarbha Upasana or Japa, and the Upasaka practicing the Prana Upasana will become the winner of Hiranyagarbha, Hiranyagarbha Padam. He will attain Hiranyagarbha Loka. So, with this, the Japa portion of this Brahmanam is also over. So, as the Upasana is directed to Udgita, this is called Udgita Brahmanam. Now we will take up the fourth section, that is called Purushavida Brahmanam of this Kanda. And in the first chapter of the Upanishad, we saw in the introduction, Adhyaropa Apavada method for Atma Prakashana, if you remember. Here we accept world as is initially and negate it later. We went in detail about the Adhyaropa Apavada method. So thereby prove that the world is unreal or mithya. Acceptance plus rejection is equal to unreality or mithyatvam in Vedanta. So only once you enter, entire world is revealed as unreal, what is left is the reality, which is nothing but I, the observer of the world, which must be satyam, that should be real. So revelation of this knowledge is the sole aim of the Upanishad. In particular, generally Vedas also. So, and we saw the world is broadly classified into two. As the Vyakrita Prapancha, the manifest world, and Avyakrita Prapancha, the unmanifest world. These words also should be familiar to you. So, Vedanta says both are mithya. Avyakrita Prapancha is called Maya or Prakriti. The manifest world itself is divided into two. Again, sadhana prapancha, various karma, upasana and all that. And sadhya prapancha, the benefit that we derive out of karma, upasana and all of them. So, this is the manifest world itself is divided into two. So, we can now say that the adhyaropa prakaranam consists of three parts. That is, sadhana prapancha adhyaropa, సాధ్య ప్రపంచ అధ్యారోప అండ్ అవ్యాకృత ప్రపంచ అధ్యారోప. దిస్ ఆర్ ది త్రీ ఆఫ్ దీస్. ది ఉపనిషత్ స్టార్టెడ్ విత్ సాధన ప్రపంచ అధ్యారోప ఆర్ సాధనాస్. వాట్ సాధనాస్ దాట్ వన్ క్యాన్ డూ, దే వర్ డిస్కస్డ్ ఇన్ కర్మ అండ్ ఉపాసనా కాండాస్ ఆఫ్ వేదాస్. యాజ్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్, ఫర్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్, ది ఉపనిషత్ డిస్కస్డ్ త్రీ సాధనాస్ ఇన్ ది ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ త్రీ ఉపాసనాస్ ఇన్ ది లాస్ట్ త్రీ సెక్షన్స్, నేమ్లీ అశ్వ ఉపాసన ఇన్ అశ్వబ్రాహ్మణం, అగ్ని ఉపాసన ఇన్ అగ్నిబ్రాహ్మణం, అండ్ ప్రాణ ఉపాసన ఇన్ ద థర్డ్ ఉద్గీత బ్రాహ్మణం. సో ఆల్ త్రీ ఉపాసనాస్ ఆర్ ఎసెన్షియలీ ఆన్ సమష్టి ద టోటల్. సో విత్ దీస్ సాధన అధ్యారోప ఈస్ ఓవర్. అండ్ నౌ వీ షుడ్ నాట్ థింక్ దట్ సాధనాస్ కన్సిస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఓన్లీ దీస్ త్రీ ఉపాసనాస్. దీస్ ఆర్ ఓన్లీ శాంపుల్స్, బట్ దర్ ఆర్ ప్లెంటీ ఆఫ్ అదర్ ఉపాసనాస్ అండ్ కర్మాస్. సో ఉపనిషత్ గివ్స్ ది ఫలం ఆఫ్ వేరియస్ ఉపాసనాస్ అండ్ ఆల్సో టాక్స్ అబౌట్ ద లిమిటేషన్ ఆఫ్ హిరణ్యగర్భ. ది ఆర్ ఆల్ వెరీ వెరీ బాంబ్షెల్స్. వి ఆర్ గోయింగ్ టు కాల్ హిరణ్యగర్భ హింసెల్ఫ్ సంసారి. ఆల్ సాధన ప్రపంచ ఈజ్ సూపర్ ఇంపోజ్డ్. వి ఎంటర్ ది ఫోర్త్ బ్రాహ్మణం నౌ, వేర్ వి గెట్ సాధ్య ప్రపంచ అధ్యారోప. సో సాధ్యం ఈజ్ గోయింగ్ టు బి అక్సెప్టెడ్ ఆర్ సూపర్ ఇంపోజ్డ్ ఫస్ట్. సో సాధ్యం హియర్ మీన్స్ ది ఎండ్ ఆర్ ద బెనిఫిట్ ఆర్ ఫలం ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ది కర్మాస్ అండ్ ఉపాసనాస్. సో ది సాధ్య ప్రపంచ ఈజ్ సూపర్ ఇంపోజ్డ్ హియర్. ఇట్ కమ్స్ అండర్ అవ్యాకృతం, దట్ ఈస్ డిస్కస్డ్ హియర్. సో ఫార్ ఆల్ ది కర్మాస్ అండ్ ఉపాసనాస్ వెరైటీస్ ఆఫ్ ఫలమ్స్ ఆర్ మెన్షన్డ్ ఇన్ ద స్క్రిప్చర్స్. సమ్ ఫలమ్స్ ఆర్ ఇహలోక ఫలం బిలాంగింగ్ టు దిస్ వరల్డ్ ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్, వైల్ సమ్ బిలాంగ్ టు పరలోక ఫలం బిలాంగింగ్ టు ద వరల్డ్స్ ఆఫ్టర్ వి వన్ డైస్. సో ది ఉపనిషత్ కెనాట్ డిస్కస్ ఆల్ ది సాధ్యం, విచ్ విల్ బికమ్ వెరీ వాల్యూమినస్, బట్ ఇట్ డిస్కసెస్ ది హయ్యెస్ట్ సాధ్యం దట్ ఈస్ పాసిబుల్. దాట్ ఫలం ఇస్ వాట్? హిరణ్య గర్భ పదం. సో ది పొజిషన్ ఆఫ్ బీయింగ్ హిరణ్య గర్భ ఆర్ బ్రహ్మాజీ ఆర్ బ్రహ్మలోక ప్రాప్తి ఆర్ విరాట్ పద ఆర్ హిరణ్య గర్భ ప్రాప్తి ఆల్ ఆఫ్ దమ్, దట్ ఈస్ డిస్కస్డ్ ఇన్ ది బిగినింగ్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ బ్రాహ్మణ. సో ఉపనిషత్ టాక్స్ అబౌట్ బోత్ ద గ్లోరీస్ యాజ్ వెల్ యాజ్ ది లిమిటేషన్స్ ఆఫ్ హిరణ్య గర్భ యాజ్ ఇట్ వర్. సో గ్లోరీస్ ఆర్ టాక్డ్ అబౌట్ బికాస్ వెన్ కర్మాస్ అండ్ ఉపాసనాస్ ఆర్ ప్రాక్టీస్డ్ వన్ విల్ గెట్ ద రిజల్ట్ అండ్ ది ఉపనిషత్ హ్యాస్ టు షో ది గ్రేట్నెస్ ఆఫ్ ది పదం. సో యాజ్ ది సేమ్ అట్ ది సేమ్ టైమ్ ఇట్ హ్యాస్ టు టాక్ అబౌట్ ది లిమిటేషన్ ఆఫ్ హిరణ్య గర్భ పదం ఆల్సో. సో గ్రేట్ రిజల్ట్స్ అండ్ ఆల్సో లిమిటేషన్స్. సో ఇఫ్ ద లిమిటేషన్స్ ఆర్ నాట్ సెడ్, దెన్ ఇట్ ఈస్ పాసిబుల్ దట్ వన్ మే బీ సాటిస్ఫైడ్ విత్ హిరణ్య గర్భ పోస్ట్. వన్ డస్ లాట్ ఆఫ్ ఉపాసన ఆల్ దోస్ తపస్ అండ్ గెట్స్ హిరణ్య గర్భ పోస్ట్, హీ ఈస్ వెరీ హ్యాపీ. దెన్ హీ విల్ నాట్ హ్యావ్ ది ఇంటెన్షన్ టు కమ్ టు జ్ఞానకాండ అట్ ఆల్. ఓన్లీ జ్ఞానకాండ విల్ గివ్ దమ్ టేక్ దెమ్ టు మోక్ష. సో ద గ్లోరీ ఆఫ్ హిరణ్య గర్భ ఈస్ హీ ఈస్ ద క్రియేటర్ ఆఫ్ ది ఎంటైర్ యూనివర్స్. Therefore, he alone manifests himself as universe. It is another matter that Hiranyagarbha himself is born. That is another matter. Let's not worry about that. But he manifests himself as a universe. This we should remember. We have seen this in the Mundaka Upanishad also, those lectures. First, Ishvara was there. He is Anadi. Ishvara is Chaitanyam plus Samashti, Karana Prapancha. All that thing we have seen. So from Ishvara, Hiranyagarbha comes first. And he is Chaitanyam plus Samashti, Sukshma Prapancha. సో హిరణ్య దిస్ ఆర్ ఆల్ ది సూక్ష్మ ప్రపంచ కారణ ప్రపంచ ఆల్ దోస్ నేమ్స్ ఐఎమ్ యూసింగ్ ఇట్ వెరీ లిబరలీ బికాస్ బై నౌ వీ షుడ్ బి ఫైర్లీ ఫెమిలియర్ విత్ దెమ్. సో హిరణ్య గర్భ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ ఈస్ అన్ ఎఫెక్ట్ ఫ్రమ్ ద స్టాండ్ పాయింట్ ఆఫ్ ఈశ్వర. సో ఫ్రమ్ ఈశ్వర ఈస్ ద కారణం, హిరణ్య గర్భ ఈస్ ది ఎఫెక్ట్ ఫస్ట్, అండ్ హిరణ్య గర్భ ఈస్ ది కారణం ఫ్రమ్ ద స్టాండ్ పాయింట్ ఆఫ్ లేటర్ క్రియేషన్, దట్ ఈస్ ద వరల్డ్. So that is why it is said, Brahma Devanam Pratama Sambhabhuva Vishwasya Kartha. Beautiful mantra. So here, Hiranyagarbha alone has created the whole universe. And in fact, it is not creation of the world, but Hiranyagarbha alone manifests himself as the whole creation. This should be very clear for us. There is no creation, only manifestation, transformation. Hiranyagarbha is nothing but Sarvatmakaha. He is in the form of everything. More details about his glory we will see in the text actually. At the same time, Hiranyagarbha has his own limitations and make Hiranyagarbha within the bounds of samsara. So Hiranyagarbha padam api samsare antarbhavati. So he is an exalted person, all right, but he is too a poor samsari. So this is going to be our initial discussion. In the next section, section 4, sloka 1, we will read. Atha chaturtham brahmanam atmai veda magra asit purusha vidaha. I told this is purusha vidha brahmana. So nu vikshya nanyadatmano pashyate sohamasmityagre vyaharate tatohanta hannama bhavate tasmadaphyerhi amantritaha ahamayam ityevagra vuktva athanyannama prabhrute yadasya bhavati sayat purvosmat sarvasmat sarvan papmana aushat tasmat purushaha oshati havai satam yosmat purvo bubushati yayevam veda so bibhet tasmadekaki bibheti sahayamikshan chakrem yen madan yen nasti kasmanu bibhe miti tata evasya bhayam viyayam kasmadhya bheshyat dhutiyadvaibhavam bhayam bhavati savai naivareme tasmadekaki naramate sadvitiyam aichyat sahaitavanasa yatastri pumagumsau samparishvaktau sa imamevatmanam dvedapatayat tatapatischam patnicha bhavatam tasmadidam ardha prigalamivasvaitiham smaha yajnavalkyaham tasmadayamakashaham striya puryata evam tagumsam abhavat tato manushya ajayantam. We said that Hiranyagarbha comes under sadhya prapancha because Hiranyagarbha phalam is phalam of ashva, agni and prana upasanas. Therefore, three upasanas are the sadhanas. Hiranyagarbha is the sadhyam. And we will now discuss the glories and limitations of Hiranyagarbha now. First, let us see the limitations and then we will go to the glory. The limitation is what? That Hiranyagarbha is not free from samsara problems. To show Hiranyagarbha has samsara, the Upanishad begins with a statement that Hiranyagarbha too had fear or bhayam. Second, Hiranyagarbha had arathihi, which means dissatisfaction with himself. He was not happy with himself. Arathi means the absence of happiness. The Upanishad demonstrates this startling revelations in two mantras. Hiranyagarbha himself was unhappy. The entire concept is nothing but symbolism of srishti. We have to understand that. When Hiranyagarbha came, Hiranyagarbha was samashti and was one total. That's how he was. And therefore, the second one has not yet come to existence and Hiranyagarbha was ekaki, as it's said in the shloka. And he was alone. Since he was alone, he got frightened. He looked around and understood as to why he is frightened. Normally, fear should arise only out of a second thing. To have fear, there must be some source of fear. And it should be other than myself. So, Hiranyagarbha thought, whom or what should I be afraid of when there is nothing else? So he understood that there is nothing other than me. Therefore, thinking like this, he got over his fear. Incidentally, the Upanishad makes a famous statement in the second mantra of the last portion. We are going to see that. Fear comes where there is the second entity. This is often quoted by Advaitins to show unless one comes to Advaitam, one can never get out of fear. And it goes to the extent that even if God is there separate from you, even that God will be the source of fear only. Then one may argue perhaps, why I should be afraid of God? After all, God is Srishti, Sthiti and Layakarta of the entire creation. He is the protector and the preserver. So the Upanishad says, you normally see and enjoy only the two jobs of Bhagavan. But your mind does not see that Bhagavan is also destroyer, layakarta, srishti, sthiti, vc and we are happy. But Bhagavan is also the destroyer, layakarta also. And he will put an end to everything you have, including body, as Kala Rupa. So even Bhagavan is the source of fear as long as he stands separately from us. In support of this argument, we get the quotation, ద్విదీయాద్వై భయం భవతి. దట్ ఇస్ వాట్ ఇస్ సెడ్ ఇన్ ది సెకండ్ మంత్ర. దట్స్ వాట్ ఐ కోటెడ్ ఇయర్. సో ద్విదీయావై భయం భవతి. ది భయం ఇస్ నాట్ ఓన్లీ ఫార్ అస్ ఆర్డినరీ హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్స్, ఇట్ ఈస్ ఆల్సో ఫార్ ది గ్రేట్ హిరణ్య గర్భ ఆల్సో, యాజ్ లాంగ్ యాజ్ హీ ఇమాజిన్స్ ఆఫ్ ది సెకండ్ థింగ్. సో సెకండ్ థింగ్ నీడ్ నాట్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ బట్ ఇట్ మే బి ఫ్యాక్చువల్ ఆర్ ఇమాజినరీ, డజంట్ మ్యాటర్. బట్ సెకండ్ థింగ్, ద వెరీ ఇమాజినేషన్ ఆఫ్ ది సెకండ్ థింగ్ క్యాన్ బి ది కాస్ ఆఫ్ ఫియర్. సో హౌ డిడ్ హిరణ్య గర్భ గెట్ ఓవర్ దట్ ఫియర్? ఇట్ ఈస్ ఓన్లీ త్రూ ద నాలెడ్జ్ దట్ దర్ ఇస్ నథింగ్ అదర్ దాన్ హిమ్ హీ గాట్ ఓవర్ హిస్ ఫియర్. వితౌట్ అద్వైత జ్ఞానం ఈవన్ హిరణ్య గర్భ ఈస్ ఆల్సో ఏ సంసారి. అండ్ ద ఉపనిషత్ సేస్, సిన్స్ హిరణ్య గర్భ గాట్ ఫ్రైటెండ్ వెన్ హీ వాస్ అలోన్, ద సేమ్ ఫియర్ ఈజ్ ఫౌండ్ ఇన్ ఆల్ అదర్ పీపుల్ ఆల్సో. సో వెన్ వీ ఆర్ అలోన్ వీ గెట్ ఫ్రైటెండ్. Now, this is extended to the second thing also, and second idea is conveyed here. Hiranyagarbha had the problem of arathihi. Arathi means in sense of loneliness, and he had no company, being a bachelor, so he is not satisfied. So he felt, what I could do alone? I want some company. That's what he thought. So the Upanishad says, these are all stories. So that is why human beings also, they have same problem. Without company, they feel a sense of loneliness. And both these things indicate samsara. This is the limitation of Hiranyagarbha Padam. So even those people who get high positions don't have anyone to share their feeling and get frightened as the Hiranyagarbha was. This is called executive samsara. Swamiji puts it in a nice way. So only Vedanta teaches that loneliness alone gives you happiness. Now, having seen the samsara part of Hiranyagarbha, we will discuss now the glory of Hiranyagarbha. So, Upanishad talks about glory of Hiranyagarbha by giving him three titles. First is Aham. He enjoys the title of Aham, I. That is said in the first mantra. So, when Hiranyagarbha came to existence, he found that nothing was there around. And when he recognized himself, he uttered the word Aham Asmi, I am. That's what he said. So Upanishad says that since Hiranyagarbha uttered the word Aham, this parampara comes down, and if you ask anybody his name, immediately what will reply? Aham, I am so and so. So who are you when you ask? The answer starts with I am, which is nothing but a derivation of the Sanskrit word Aham, the name of Hiranyagarbha. So whatever be the difference, everybody starts with I. The language may differ. The common factor is Aham. This Aham belongs to Hiranyagarbha, which alone we all use. And having uttered the word Aham, we give the second names. I am son of so-and-so, I am manager, I am this, I am that. So, glory is first glory, Hiranyagarbha's glory, that he enjoys a title and name which is universal as Aham. And the second glory of Hiranyagarbha, or title of Hiranyagarbha, is Purushaha. So, Hiranyagarbha is called Purushaha. Purushaha in Vedantic context means Atma. So, the derivation we get from this is that what? Whoever has a Shariram is called Purushaha. The self is indwelling in the body. Self means Atma, is in quotes. So in this derivation, Purusha is equal to Atma, the self. So in this section, the Upanishad gives a new meaning for Purushaha. Not self, but Hiranyagarbha or Virat. So in this section, Purushaha is not self, but it is Hiranyagarbha or Virat. So Purvam, so Aushata iti Purushaha. Aushatu means burned down or destroyed. So Hiranyagarbha destroys. What is the idea conveyed here? Hiranyagarbha was a manushya or jiva in the past janma. Only difference is he performed great karmas and upasanas to get the post of Hiranyagarbha after death. After death, everybody is important. Because he did all these things, so and he got it after death. So all his papams were destroyed. In the previous section, papam was described as selfishness. And all the other ragadveshas, etc., he burned down and by his tapas. And when the papams are gone, his punyam increased. And as a result of the accumulation of punyams, he has become Hiranyagarbha after death. So for Hiranyagarbha Padam also, many jivas are working to gain the coveted post. Acharya compares gaining the post of Hiranyagarbha to that of winning a running race. So the Upanishad begins this Brahmanam with Atma Vai Asit Purusha Vidaha. That is how the first sentence is Atma Vai Asit Purusha Vidaha. Atma here means Hiranyagarbha or Virat, not Sachidananda Atma. We should be careful. So Hiranyagarbha alone was in the beginning as Purusha and Aham, two names. And the third glory is Hiranyagarbha alone out of loneliness created the whole universe. In fact, created is not the word. He himself manifested as the whole universe. And therefore, he got the title called Srishtihi. So he is called Vishwam or Srishtihi. So the Bhagavan is Hiranyagarbha here. So Aham, Purushaha and Srishti are these three titles of Hiranyagarbha. Incidentally, the Upanishad says, whoever performs Upasana on Hiranyagarbha will also become number one Hiranyagarbha. Similarly, anyone doing Srishti Upasana will also become a great creator. Now, we will see how Hiranyagarbha created the world. That is seen in Mantra 3, from where we left. Let us read now. Saha yetavanasa yetastri pumagumsau samparishvaktau sa imameva atmanam dvedapatayate tatapatischa patnicha abhavatam tasmadidam ardrabrigalamivam swayiti hasmaha yajnavalkyaham tasmadayama kashaham striya puryata evam tam samabhavat tato manushya ajayanta. So in mantras 3 to 6, we get Srishti or Hiranyagarbha Srishti. And the Srishti can be divided into four sections. Manushya Srishti, Pashavadi Srishti, Deva Srishti and Anna Annada Srishti. And we should remember, the aim is not giving the details of Srishti here. I mentioned it earlier itself. But it is only to point out that Hiranyagarbha alone becomes human. Pashavadi, all the Pashus and all, even Devas and Hiranyagarbha eva, Sarvam Abhavatu, all pervading. So of these four, three mantras talks about Manushya Srishti. Manushya Srishti, third mantra, talks about the Manushya Srishti. And as a beginning of Manushya Srishti, the Upanishad talks about Manu and Shatarupa Srishti. Manu and Shatarupa. So original model of human beings is Manu and Shatarupa. Out of Manu and Shatarupa alone, the entire human race came. Hiranyagarbha could create, is his glory, but cause of creation indicates the problem. Samsari and all we already mentioned. Why he created? That shows his weakness. He could not be happy with himself. He felt lonely. He wanted company. So Hiranyagarbha's problem alone is coming as parampara to everybody. So every brahmachari getting married may be termed he is a mini Hiranyagarbha. He feels that he is incomplete and unhappy, not have a companion, wants to create, all that. Therefore, Hiranyagarbha himself appeared as a human pair. Now, let us deal with the third mantra. So Hiranyagarbha himself appeared as the first human pair or human couple. How did they appear? They appeared as one unit, embraced with each other. This is a very peculiar way of putting it. Embracing with each other, not as two separate people, but as one single unit. Hiranyagarbha appeared as one single unit, but as two separate people. So they are Manu and Shatarupa. That's what Shankaracharya says in his Bhashyam. So first human pair is called Manu and Shatarupa. So from Manu only all this world, verse man and all Manusha, they all came. So how this pair came as one unit? The Upanishad gives an example. It is like certain grains which we call grams or pulses. And if we see, it will be one unit with two parts. It is loosely connected with two parts. Like for example, peanut is a good example, ground nut or peanuts. It has two parts but connected as one unit. So Manu and Shatarupa were like such nuts or grams. They were together and they are still separate. Then Hiranyagarbha separated them as male and female, Manu and Shatarupa. And why this example? Upanishad explains, This is to indicate man and women are mutually complementary. Though they seem to be separate entities like groundnuts two parts, they are incomplete without the other. Both are mutually complementary. Therefore, the Upanishad justifies that why a male without a female always feels there is a gap. Every person has got empty space which is incomplete, it seems. He feels that he is empty without the other half, to put it in other words, the better half. So he tells us that there is no superiority or inferiority between male and female. Both of them play different roles and each one is equally important. Without one role, the other is incomplete. So from them all human beings are born. This is Manushya Srishti. Now we will take up the next one, which is Pasu Srishti, all the animal kingdom. Mantra 4. Soheya Mikshan Chakre Katham Tumatmana Evam Janayitvasam Bhavati Hanta Tirosa Niti Sagaura Bhavate Rishabai Taraham Tham Sameva Bhavate Tato Gavo Jayantam Vadevatara Bhavate అశ్వవృష్టగితరహాం గర్దపి గర్దభీతరాం గర్దభగితరహాం స్థాం తాం సామవేత్ సాం సమే సమేవా భవత్ తత ఏకాశతమజాయత అజేతరా భవత్ వస్త ఇతర అవిరితరా మేష ఇతరహాం తాం సమేవా భవత్ తతోజా పై తతోజా వయోజాయంత ఏవమేవ యదిదం కించ మిథునం అపిపీలికాభ్యం తత్సర్వం అసృజత. సో హియర్ పశు సృష్టి, ది క్రియేషన్ ఆఫ్ అనిమల్ కింగ్డమ్ ఈస్ టాక్డ్ అబౌట్. ఫార్ దాట్ ది ఉపనిషత్స్ ఇంట్రడ్యూసెస్ ఇంట్రెస్టింగ్లీ స్టోరీ. ఇట్ సీమ్స్ వెన్ శతరూప లుక్డ్ అట్ మను, షీ డెవలప్డ్ ఎ న్యూ ఫీలింగ్. How can I look upon Manu as my husband? It is immoral, unethical and improper, because Hiranyagarbha alone has appeared as Manu and I am born out of Hiranyagarbha. Therefore, Manu is like my father. How can I look upon him as my husband? It is improper. And therefore, Shatrupa felt bad and she changed herself to be a cow. Then what happened? Manu had similar problem. This is only a story of Srishti, nothing literal. So let us be careful. Manu missed, as it were. He felt also incomplete. Therefore, he converted himself into a bull, a Rishabha. And out of that couple came the entire cow species. Like that, you extend the story. Again, Shatrupa changed to another female form. And Manu, the corresponding male form. So cows, horses, goats, donkeys, ants. All are mentioned in the Upanishad. These are all mentioned. So all male and female species came into existence out of Manu and Shatrupa. Perhaps for this reason, Shatrupa got her name. Shatrupa means hundreds of forms. Thus, out of the first couple, Manu Shatrupa, all other animal species were born. This is Pashu Srishti. So Manushya Srishti is over, Pashu Srishti is over. Now let us read mantras 5 and 6. సోవేత్ అహం వావ సృష్టిరస్మి అహం హీదం సర్వమసృక్షీతి తత సృష్టిరభవత్ సృష్ట్యాం హాస్యైతస్యాం భవతి యఏవం వేద అతేత్యభ్యమంతత్ సముఖాచ యోనేహే హస్తాభ్యాం చ అగ్నిమసృజత్ తస్మాదేతత్ ఉభయం అలోమకం అంతరతః అలోమకం అంతరతః అలోమకాహి యోనిరంతరతః తద్యదితమాహుః అముం యజ అముం యజేతి ఏకైకం దేవం ఏతస్యైవ సా సృష్టిః ఏష అహ్యేవ సర్వే దేవాః ఏష ఉహ్యేవ సర్వే దేవాః అత యత్కిందిత్ ఏదమార్ద్రం తదే తద్రేతసోసృజత తదు సోమహాం ఏతావద్వా ఇదం సర్వం అన్నం చైవ అన్నాదశ్చ సోమయేవ అన్నం అగ్నిరన్నాదః సైషా బ్రహ్మణోతి సృష్టిః ब्रह्मणः आदिसृष्टिः यच्छ्रेयसो देवान् सृजत अतयन्मर्त्यः सन्नमृतान् सृजत तस्मादतिसृष्टिः अतिसृष्ट्यां हासेतस्यां भवति य एवं वेद. सो फस्ट् वि सी सिक्स्त् मन्त्रा वेर् देवा देवसृष्टि अण्ड् अन्न अन्नाद सृष्टिस् वर् डिस्कस्ड्. So the first Agni Devata was created. How? It's a very interesting idea is given here. Upanishad is all of imaginations. Agni Devata is said to be in the mouth. So churning brings out Agni in Arani wood. Arani, in Arani wood, they churn the wood to get Agni. Similarly, Hiranyagarbha wanted to bring out Agni Devata from his mouth by churning. And the churning rod was required, so he used his own hand as the churning rod. Therefore, he put his hand into the mouth and churned, and Agni Devata was born. And what is the proof for this? Upanishad gives its own logic. If you look at the whole body, and everywhere there is hair, but inside the mouth and on the palm, there are no hairs. So these two organs are used for creating fire, and hair in those organs got burnt. And so hand and mouth look barren without hairs. Not only for Hiranyagarbha, for Manushyas also. Yes, from Shri Yadav it is like this. Then the next Devata created was Soma Devata, or creative energy, the Bijam. Thereafterwards, other Devatas were born. So Devata Srishti is also over in this manner. Then Upanishad says that Agni Devata and Soma Devata alone become Annadaha and Annam. Annadaha means the eater and Annam is the food. So the principle of fire and Soma alone become the food and the eater. How? Agni alone becomes our digestive fire. Jatara Agni, we say the Vaishwanara Agni, which cooks all food second time. First you cook the food once, and when it goes to the stomach, it gets cooked again. So Agni Devata is called Annadaha, one who eats the food. And Soma Devata is supposed to become the nourishing part of the food. So actually, if we have to refer to Gita and all those things, so Annarasam is Eatam. So Soma is Annam and Agni is Annadaha. So Annam Atti Iti Annadaha. So the one who eats Annam is Annadaha. So Soma is Eatam and Agni is the Eater. Thus, Anna Anna, the Srishti is also, that's also discussed now. Then the Upanishad makes an incidental point here. Out of all the Srishtis, the greatest one is Deva Srishti. And therefore, it is called Adi Srishtihi. So, the rest are all Srishti only. With this, Chaturvida Srishti is over. Now, we will go back to the fifth mantra. After Srishti, Hiranyagarbha says, I alone am in the form of the whole universe. I alone have become the Manushatarupa. Through them, I only have become animals, Devas, Anna, Annada, all of them. So Hiranyagarbha got the knowledge, Aham Eva Srishtihi. One who does this Upasana can identify oneself with Hiranyagarbha, the universe. This is of great value because selfishness goes, mind expands, he becomes universal. All individuality goes. He will look upon the whole world as his own family. With this, the Hiranyagarbha, Samsara and glory parts are over. And Sadhya Prapancha topic is also over. So Sadhana Prapancha topic is over. Sadhya Prapancha topic is over. Before going to the next mantra, we will discuss again two topics. Actually, Acharya writes pages and pages of all these bhashyas. Wherever there is inquiry in the Bhashyam, we have to briefly see for completion. Two inquiries we will sum up here. One inquiry comes in the second mantra. This mantra contains Dvidiyat Vai Bhayam, we said. It is like a Mahavakya. So Hiranyagarbha felt he was alone and therefore he developed fear. This is not in the text actually, but we are saying. Then later he understood that there is no second thing, and this knowledge, no second thing other than me, can be looked upon again in two ways. One is that there is no second thing other than me who is Hiranyagarbha. Me refers to Hiranyagarbha here. Therefore, I need not be afraid. This is one way given by Anandagiri. From another angle also, there is no second thing referring to Brahman, because Brahman alone is the only thing, all of this, there is nothing else otherwise. So Shankaracharya now, he makes an inquiry based on the second option that Hiranyagarbha knew, Aham Brahma Asmi. Then he questions, if Hiranyagarbha got this knowledge, what is the source of this knowledge? Where is the Guru? Where is Shastra? Where is Upadesham? So, if for Hiranyagarbha nothing was required, for us also nothing should be required. Some may argue. So, in this inquiry, Acharya concludes, when we say Shastram, Guru, etc. are required, this is the general rule. But he says that there can be exceptional cases, and in such exceptional upadhis, this jnana may be possible without this help, because Purva Janma Shravana Manana or Sadhana will be there. When papas go away, knowledge can come in this Janma. So, Yoga Brashta, Krishna said in the Gita. So, such people, because of Purva Janma Shravana Mananas, all those sadhanas, he could have got, and knowledge can come in this Janma. So, Shankaracharya gives a good example also. There is knowledge of Rupa Jnana, Rupa forms and colors. He says, in the case of yogis who have the supra-sensuous perception, we call extrasensory perception and all that. So, Atindriya Shaktihi, they can get this knowledge using mind itself without requiring any external guidance. Kevalam Manaha, Rupa Jnane Karanam. He says, there is one thing called Naktancharas. Certain birds that can see in the night. They get the knowledge of objects using mind and eyes only. But when it comes to us, what we need, like humans, we require three things. We need the mind, we need eyes, and we need also the light. When all the three are there only, we can have Rupa Jnanam. So Rupa Jnanam being same, Nimitta Vedas are there. So here are the difference in the instruments of knowledge and in the means of knowledge according to Upadhi Vishesha. Therefore, he concludes, Acharya concludes, in the case of Vamadeva, he got jnanam in the womb itself. In extraordinary cases, due to extraordinary upadhi, extraordinary purity, one gains jnanam in an exceptional way. But this rule is not for ordinary people. Even Acharya does not claim to be an extraordinary teacher. The exception will not apply to us. So he concludes that discussion in the second mantra. And another discussion we find at the end of the sixth mantra, whether Hiranyagarbha comes under Ishvara or Jiva category. That is the second question posed by Acharya. He says, in scriptures, both aspects are seen. In Mundaka Upanishad, Hiranyagarbha is given as Ishvara himself. So Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva are appearances of Brahman in three forms. So, if we analyze this fourth section of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, it is said that Hiranyagarbha is nothing but a position gained by a jiva through upasana. So, according to this section, Hiranyagarbha is an exalted jiva only. Thus, both views are there, and Acharya concludes saying that majority of people talk Hiranyagarbha as Ishvara alone. That is, Ishvara's manifestation or avatara. But there are only rare references to Hiranyagarbha as Jiva. So Acharya gives the reason being the extraordinary purity. So he is taken as Ishvara. So he can be seen in both ways. And this is the discussion. Now we will go to the next mantra. Mantra 7. Taddedam tarhim avyakritam asit thannama rupabhyameva vyakriyatam asaunamayam idam rupa itim tadidam apyetarhim nama rupabhyameva vyakriyate asaunamayam idam rupa iti sayeshaiva pravishtaham. We will stop up to this part of the mantra and then we will continue with the rest of the mantra after this discussion. So mantra 7 to 10, they are very important mantras, Vedantic mantras. So Acharya's Bhashyam on these mantras goes pages after pages without end almost. So at least we will do a part of it here to understand what is happening. So where the upasana comes, we'll be brief in that. Here Vedanta is there and I will give some details. So ది ఉపనిషత్ ఇంట్రడ్యూసెస్ అవ్యాకృత ప్రపంచ. అవ్యాకృత ప్రపంచ, వీ సెడ్ ద హోల్ ప్రపంచ ఈజ్ డివైడెడ్ ఇన్ టు వ్యాకృతం అండ్ వ్యాకృతం మీన్స్ మేనిఫెస్ట్ అండ్ అవ్యాకృతం మీన్స్ అన్మానిఫెస్ట్. అండ్ వ్యాకృతం అలోన్ ఈజ్ సబ్డివైడెడ్ ఇన్ టు సాధన ప్రపంచ అండ్ సాధ్య ప్రపంచ. సో ఇన్ ది ఫస్ట్ 3 సెక్షన్స్ సాధనం వాజ్ డిస్కస్డ్ అండ్ ఇన్ దీ 6 మంత్రాస్ సాధ్యం వాజ్ డన్. సో విత్ సాధన అండ్ సాధ్య వ్యాకృత ప్రపంచ అధ్యారోప ఈజ్ ఓవర్. యూ షుడ్ వెంట్రూ సిస్టమాటిక్లీ ఇఫ్ యూ రిమెంబర్. సో సాధన ప్రపంచ అధ్యారోప, సాధ్య ప్రపంచ అధ్యారోప, సో బోత్ ఆర్ ఓవర్. నవ్ వీ టేకప్ ది అవ్యాకృత ప్రపంచ అధ్యారోప. వాట్ ఈస్ దాట్? ఉపనిషత్ సేస్ దిస్ వెరీ యూనివర్స్ ఇదం ఏవ బిఫోర్ సృష్టి ఈజ్ కాల్డ్ అవ్యాకృత ప్రపంచ. దిస్ వెరీ యూనివర్స్ బిఫోర్ సృష్టి. ఫ్రమ్ దిస్ ఇట్ బికమ్స్ వెరీ క్లియర్ బిఫోర్ సృష్టి ఆల్సో దిస్ యూనివర్స్ ఎగ్జిస్టెడ్ యాజ్ అవ్యాకృతం ఆర్ అవ్యక్తం. దర్ఫోర్ లార్డ్ నెవర్ బ్రింగ్స్ ఇన్ ఆర్ క్రియేట్స్ ఎ న్యూ వరల్డ్. దిస్ ఆర్ ఆల్ బాంబ్షెల్స్ టు మెనీ పీపుల్. ఇన్ ఫ్యాక్ట్ ద హోల్ వరల్డ్ వాస్ దేర్ బట్ వీ నెవర్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్డ్ ఇట్ బికాస్ ఇట్ వాస్ ఇన్ అ డార్మెంట్ ఆర్ అన్మానిఫెస్ట్ ఫార్మ్ బీజ అవస్థం బిఫోర్ క్రియేషన్. Therefore, Srishti is nothing but this avyakrita prapancha becoming vyakrita prapancha, unmanifest becoming manifest. And this is only manifestation of nama rupa. Nama rupa avivyaktihi evam srishtihi. Having discussed vyakrita prapancha until now, in the seventh mantra that we just read, the Upanishad now talks about avyakrita or avyakta prapancha. So the Upanishad says, తద్ద ఇదం తర్హి అవ్యాకృతం ఆసీత్. తర్హి మీన్స్ దెన్. బిఫోర్ సృష్టి ఇదం ద హోల్ వ్యాకృత ప్రపంచం కన్సిస్టింగ్ ఆఫ్ వాట్? సాధనం అండ్ సాధ్యం. సో సాధన సాధ్యాత్మక సాధ్యాత్మక కర్మ ఉపాసన ఫలాత్మక వ్యాకృత ప్రపంచ. దిస్ మేనిఫెస్ట్ యూనివర్స్ బిఫోర్ క్రియేషన్ వాస్ ఇన్ ద ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ అవ్యాకృతం అన్మానిఫెస్ట్. సో ఇన్ అన్మానిఫెస్ట్ కండిషన్. So where everything was there in its potential form. As we saw in the Dakshinamurti Stotram also, Bijasyantarivankuro jagadidam prang nirvikalpam punaha maya kalpita desha kala kalana vaichitriya chitrikritam. So Bijasyantaraha ankuraha iva. Just as a tree is in potential form in a seed, the sukshma avyakritam, the whole universe, was there in potential form. Which means all these sthula sharirams, sukshma sharirams, punya papas, sanchita karma rupena were their potential form before. Then what happened? When the karmas or punya papas became ripe and were ready for fructification, srishti took place. Let us not ask the first creation comes and all that thing. Don't ask all. These are anadi. This question should not come to us at this stage after reading all the so many Upanishads and Tattvabodha and all that. So there is no first creation in Vedanta. Therefore, whenever we talk about avyakta condition, we should remember that karma also was there in avyakta condition. Avyakta never exists without karma. When these karmas become ripe enough, the world will have to be created. Because karma palams can be enjoyed only with a shariram, a bhoga shariram, a bhoga karanani. Karanani is organs. They are all required to enjoy palam of punya or papa. Then what else? For that a bhogya prapancha is required. Shabda, sparsha, ratha, gandhatmakaha, bhogya prapanchaha api, so apakshitaha. So karma, so what happens? Karma phala bhogyartham. So a person, all this also has to come. So but all these three are resolved in avyakta prapancha. Therefore, their bhogam cannot take place. When in sleep, we can never exhaust punyams and papams in deep sleep. Because punya papa exhaustion requires a shariram. Sharira karana vishayaha, body, organs, and the objects are required to exhaust punya or papa. All these three are not there in avyakta avastha. When karma is ripened, experiences should come. Experience requires sharira karana vishayas. And they will come only when unmanifest becomes manifest. And this transformation is called srishti. So this transformation of avyakta prapanchasya sharirasya karana vishaya rupena abhivyaktihi. So this is vyakaranam. Vyakaranam is not expansion, not the grammar. Vyakaranam expansion becomes vyakta prapancha. So this transformation is called srishti. And therefore the teacher says, tad means the avyakritam jagatam vyakriyata became manifest, elaborated or expanded. Like what? Folded cloth becoming unfolded. And what happens at the time of manifestation? Upanishad says, nama rupa bhyam vyakriyata. Avyakta manifests in the form of different names and forms. Generally we talk about nama rupas. We will add karma also now on. So karma to get manifest gets associated with names and forms, with shariram's to exhaust the karma phalams. Thus all the shariras have different functions, different names, different forms. So while all karanams have got names, forms and functions, all objects also, vishayas, also have names, forms and functions. This means what? After manifestation, vyavahara, the transaction, transaction begins. What type of transaction? Asau nama ayam. A name, Krishna, Rama, all these names along with nama, a particular personality, physical personality, whether fat, lean, thin, dark, emotional personality, angry person, quiet person, sober person, intellectual personality, is a doctor, engineer, intelligent person, all qualities come under nama rupa. Along with nama rupa, one has a third thing also, karma, as I said. What function it has got with the individual jiva? As brahmana, as a brahmachari, as a kshatriya, as a vaishya. So he has some functions. So like different social functions, family functions and all that. Question is, how we come to know of all these? All were previously unmanifest and no one come to manifestation. The manifestation is nothing but avyakta takes vyakta nama rupa karma and in the manifest form transactions are the vyavaharas. They take place. So Upanishad clarifies this point that we can infer from our present experience itself. Any srishti, for example, in the case of, for example, ornaments. Before ornaments, gold was in the form of a lump. And ornaments were in unmanifest form. In Ghatabhashyam, we said whether the pot was there in the clay before or not. We went through that already. Tad evam tarhi avyakritam asit. At that time, no transactions at all. Lump of gold could not do any function in its avyakta form. It's of little use to us as a lump of gold. By making ornaments, the nama rupa is added to gold and made useful to us. So from Vedantic point, gold is made into an ornament due to karma. And avyakta gold has become vyakta swarupam ornament. Here, karma means the making of the ornament with the lump of gold. Therefore, Upanishad says, Taddedam tarhi avyakritam asit. Even now also, everything in the universe, the unmanifest comes into manifestations through nama rupa only. That law which holds good in Vyashti holds good in Samashti also. This is the name and form. So this avyakrita prapancham also were superimposed on Brahman. With this avyakrita adhyaropa topic is over. So sadhana adhyaropa, sadhyatyaropa and avyakrita adhyaropa, I mentioned all the three, all are over. So from the next sentence onwards, the Upanishad takes a small diversion from the topic of adhyaropa to the topic of srishti. Again, understand, srishti is not the main function here. This is a growth. So, what happens after srishti is being discussed here as a diversion. So, the adhyaropa topic will be continued later, after this diversion is over. So, next one is a big commentary on Anupravesha Shruti. It's a big thing running into pages after pages. Bhashyam of Anupravesha Shruti. So, what is the diversion here? The Upanishad says, after creation of the world, Paramatma himself entered the creation in avyakrita prapancha in the form of jivatma. So in this particular sentence, Shankaracharya does lot of enquiry. A big bhashyam on this mantra, famous statement is called Pravesha Shrutihi. Entry statement. Pravesha is entry. This is not only found in this Upanishad, but also found in several other different Upanishads. Taittiriya Upanishad, Anupravesha Shruti, Chandogya Upanishad, six chapters, all there. So Shankaracharya discusses Pravesha Shruti in all Upanishads wherever it is there. In Brihadaranyaka Upanishad alone, he discusses it so elaborately. At least let us see the summary of that first. We face some technical problems here. The Upanishad says, Saha Iha Pravishtaha. That is the last line we read. He entered. Saha Iha Pravishtaha. He entered. When you say that he, what is the meaning of the pronoun? Pronoun stands for a noun, a proxy noun. In the form of a pronoun, he, here. And the Upanishad says, he has entered. Therefore, we must know on what basis the pronoun he has been used here. These are all inquiries of Acharya. On the basis of what Shruti has discussed this before. So, what we have been discussing all the time, we discussed above is avyakritam, avyaktam, prakriti, maya. Therefore, saha should refer to avyakritam. So, Shankaracharya argues, saha refers to paramatma, that is Brahman. Naturally, the question arises as to how can you say avyakritam is equal to paramatma. First, he points out that avyakritam can never exist separate from Brahman or paramatma. Maya can never exist separate from Brahman or paramatma. Therefore, wherever there is word avyakritam, one should remember avyakritam is associated with Brahman or Chaitanyam also. Therefore, Acharya argues that avyakritam has three different meanings in three different contexts. What are those? Avyakritam refers to Maya, unmanifest universe alone, even though a mixture of both, avyakritam denotes Maya part. In another place, he says avyakritam means mixture of avyakritam plus maya sahitam Brahman, Ishwara. So avyakritam can refer to Brahman alone and Paramatma alone. Thus, according to the context, avyakritam is maya or Brahman or mixture. Then he argues in this context, avyakritam is to be understood as Paramatma in this context. Why? Because that only fits in with the later discussions. So he has to be thorough with whatever is happening later also. So more so, when we are going to talk about Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam, Avyakritam means Paramatma, where Saha, the word, is used. Then one may ask the question, if it has got different meanings in different contexts, will it not confuse people? Already we are confused. It is not going to confuse us further. He says, no, for Acharya, no confusion. We ourselves, for example, in day-to-day context, we use different expressions having different meanings in different contexts. In English, for example, we have a word well. He is not well. I mean, he is not healthy or he is not whatever it is. And we also say another statement, the pot fell into the well. There the meaning of the word well is different. The context can give the meaning without confusion. Of course, he gives another example, gramaha or village. Acharya gives this example in his Bhashyam. Gramaha means village. And village he can interpret three ways, three meanings. One, a geographical place, and B, people in that village, and C, mixture of both. And he gives an example. For example, when you say the whole village was empty, it refers to the place. It is because empty village means village without people or place without people. Then what is the second example? For example, for a big function like a Kumbhabhishekam, the whole village came. Here the village refers to the people and not the place. And the third meaning is mixture. Mixture means what? Do not enter a village where there is no temple or where there are nastikas. Acharya gives all this example. So here we refer to both the place and the people. So the idea is that a simple word has different meanings. In the same way, in the statement avyakrita asit, the emphasis is on the avyakrita prapancha, the unmanifest universe. Saha refers to Paramatma in this context. And the next inquiry is, what is the meaning of entry? He entered. Before that, Acharya analyzes various possibilities and knocks off all of them. And what are the possible entries? We will see five of them here. I say, for example, Griham Nirmayam Devadattaha Pravishtaha. After constructing the house, Devadatta entered the house. Devadattaha Praveshamatam. So Shankaracharya refutes that idea. He says it is all okay. In this example, Devadatta was outside the house. he built a house and he entered. This was possible because he was limited entity and he built a house and entered the house where he was not earlier. In the case of Paramatma, this is not possible because Paramatma cannot enter anywhere because Paramatma is all-pervading. He is Sarvagatatma, Paramatma. And he gives a second suggestion. Let us say Paramatma built the house and Jivatma entered. Like builder built or contractor built the house and I entered. Acharya refutes that also. The Upanishad has said Paramatma has entered because one who created alone has entered. Both are one and the same. It is made very clear in Taittiriya Upanishad. Tat srishtva tadeva anupravishate tad anupravishya. This is also the Anupraveshuti in Taittiriya Upanishad Brahmanandavalli. Ishvara alone created and alone there is no question of Ishvara creating and Jiva entering. So second option is also ruled out. Then the third option, the Tarkikas, Nayayikas, they say when anything is created, for a moment that object remains Nirgunam without any property. They say Utpannam Dravyam Kshanam Nirgunam Tishtati. That is what their argument is. And after one kshanam, yes, brief moment, the property comes to that object. So, dravye gunavat. So, just as the property enters a dravyam, Paramatma also entered. That is, consciousness, chaitanyam also came to the material body. This is their argument. And Acharya refutes this possibility also. He says, property is always dependent on a subject. If Paramatma is like gunam, then Paramatma also will become dependent. This option is also negated. Then the fourth option is when a fruit ripens, for example, one part of the fruit becomes more solid and becomes seed, even though whole thing ripens and different parts become different things. In the same way, Paramatma is all pervading and all Nama Rupa come to manifestation, various portions of Paramatma modify to become Jivatma, then Paramatma that is within the body transforms into Jivatma. Acharya says this is also not true. Number one, a modification can never be called entry. Pale bijavate. It cannot be called entry. Modification is never possible in the case of Paramatma. That is so both based on these two points, that is not possible. Then the final suggestion that he gives is darpane pratibimbavate. Just as a reflection of an object is formed in a mirror, reflection of Paramatma is formed. And the formation of reflection is called entry of Paramatma. As Surya enters the mirror, for example, sun, you put a mirror. The sun enters the mirror in the form of reflection. And Shankaracharya says, I cannot accept it because if my face must enter a reflecting mirror or water or something, there should be a second thing other than me. The question of reflection comes only when you accept a second thing, a reflecting medium, a reflecting object. Since there is no second thing other than Brahman, there is no question of Pratibimba entry also. Therefore, the fifth option is also negated. Actually, this can create a doubt also. We ourselves talk about Chidabhasa, so Chit Pratibimba, reflected consciousness, all that we have discussed in great detail in so many other contexts. We do the expression of Pratibimba. But there is a slight difference there. Mind, according to Vedanta, is Mithya. And in Mithya reflecting medium, Mithya reflection, we are talking about there. Therefore, we negate the reflection theory also. Because mind is Mithya, so it is Mithya reflection. All the five options are ruled out. Now, Acharya argues, it is neither a printing mistake, somebody wrote the Upanishad, nor a blabbering of Shruti. He says this Anupravesha Shruti is an Arthavada portion. That is a portion which is meant to explain some other important thing with no direct relevance. We have already seen in detail what is Arthavada and all in the previous webinar. That something else is Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam. Identity between Jivatma and Paramatma is the aim of this topic that is intended to be conveyed. When we understand that way, Paramatma Anupravesha means Paramatma being available behind mind as Sakshi Chaitanyam. That is figuratively said as Anupravesha here. So Sakshi Chaitanyam, witness awareness. So at once the student will know Paramatma is available in the mind as Sakshi. Paramatma is available in the mind as witness consciousness, witness awareness we can call it. So this fits all Mahavakyas. Tattvamasi, Prajnanam Brahma, Aham Brahmasmi, Kshetrajnam Chabhimam Vitti, Aham Atma Gudakesha, Sakshi Cheta Kevalo, all those it fits in all of them. All these will throw a tally if Anupravesha Shruti is interpreted like this. So Jivatma Rupena Paramatma Idanim Upalabhyate. And once we understand Jivatma is Paramatma, we have to forget the Srishti topic. So our emphasis is not what came first, whether there are five elements or three elements, which came first, all that we do not worry about it. We should not spend time to analyze Srishti or Pravesha. We should understand Paramatma Jivatma Rupena Vartate. With that, Pravesha Srishti, Pravesha Shruti serves its purpose. Acharya says at the end of the discussion, Antakarane Upalabhyatvam Evam Pravesha Srishtehe Tatpariyam. Paramatma has entered is equal to Paramatma is available in the mind of Jivatma in the form of witness. Like what? Suppose if I want to meet, for example, a person, Ram, then I ask someone about his whereabouts. And someone says that he just entered the office. What does it mean? He is available for me to contact in the office. His availability in the office is the meaning of he has entered the office. We should take the availability part and we should forget the entry part. In the case of Paramatma also, the entry part we should leave and we should take the availability part only. With this, Anupravesha Shruti is also over. So what is the conclusion? Our conclusion is Jivatma evam Paramatma Aham Brahma Asmi. I am aware of my mind as I am being the Paramatma. With this part of discussion is over. Now let us go to the second part. Shankaracharya establishes the meaning. Many other philosophers are not happy with his interpretation. So therefore they come with many objections. Shankaracharya answers all of them. We will briefly see some of them. All of them is we will elaborate. First, a layman, for example, a person who has no knowledge of Vedanta and all, he says, I don't accept Jivatma is identical with Paramatma. The reason is simple. Jivatmas are many, Paramatma is only one. So if both are identical, there will be many Paramatmas. It is not acceptable. Then Acharya argues, you think Jivatmas are many because minds are many. The plurality of the mind has been attributed to the Sakshi, witness consciousness. Witness consciousness is not pluralistic. But minds are many, therefore you have confusion. There are many illuminating minds, but illuminator Sakshi is only one. He supports the Srishti Vakyam, Sarva Vyapi as one. The Srishti Vakyam. So Sakshi is only one for Sarva Bhuta Antaratma, Kshetrajnaha. The Sakshi is only one. So first objection is ruled out. That is of the layman anyway. Second objection, Jivatma is full of sorrow. Raga, Dvesha, Samsara, that is all seen in every Jivatma. If Jivatma is identical with Paramatma, Paramatma also should be a big samsari. Whereas all Upanishads declare, Ishvara is free from all doshas. Acharya says, when I say Jivatma and Paramatma are identical, you can interpret it in two ways. First interpretation is that you can add God to the samsari category. In the second, you remove Jivatma from samsara. Purpose of Shastra is to liberate all. And right interpretation is Jivatma is to be freed from dukkham. Just as Paramatma is free from sorrow, Jivatma also should be free from sorrow. That Jivatma is sorrowful is only a misconception, a delusion and confusion. Acharya supports this with Shruti quotation itself. Jivatma is not affected by sorrow. Then he comes with the third question. Shruti may say Jivatma is free from sorrow, but we cannot accept it. According to Mimamsa rules, if Shruti teaches something which is opposed to pratyaksha pramana, direct experience, then that Shruti teaching should not be accepted as is. It has to be interpreted in such a way, it will not contradict our pratyaksha. Even if Veda says Agni is cold, we will not accept. Therefore, he asks the question, Shruti may say Jivatma is free from samsara, but my direct experience is I am sorrowful. Therefore, I cannot accept Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam. This is the third objection. Then Shankaracharya says, no, Atma is never an object of experience. Atmanaha Avishayatvad. Atma is not an object of experience. Therefore, no one experiences Atma's sorrow. Whatever experience is by Anatma. Atma is never an object of experience. Therefore, you can never say that I have experienced the sorrow of Atma. Atma is never an object of experience because Atma is ever the subject. Therefore, you cannot say that Atma is sorrowful. Until now, the layman has argued. Now comes the Buddhists, the Kshanika Vijnanavadis. We already saw about this earlier also. They come. And the Buddhists, they argue, Atma cannot be experienced as an object, but still Atma can experience itself. And when Atma experiences itself, Atma is experiencing its sorrow also. You see how they are arguing. Therefore, Atma Dukkham is Pratyaksha Vishaya. Atma is sorrowful and it cannot be equal to Paramatma, which is free of sorrow. So the Kshanika Vijnatavadi, that's what they say. So Acharya says no for that also. One cannot say Atma experiences itself. Then Atma becomes subject of experience and object of experience also, and one Atma can never be both subject and object. So, Kartru Karma Virodat, seer can never be seen, eater can never be eaten. At the same time, one can never experience oneself. Then the Purvapakshi, he suggests, why can't you say that one part of Atma is subject and another part of Atma is object? Divide the object, Atma itself, subject and object. From the standpoint of I am seer. From the standpoint of hand, I am seen because my hand is seen by the eye. So hand point, from the hand standpoint, is seer. So I am seeing myself. Thus, one part of Atma sees another part. That is what the Purvapakshi says. In another part, sorrow is there. And Acharya says, I cannot accept that also. For Atma has no parts or divisions. Niramshadvad, so if there is no Amshaha. Nishkalatvad, so Nirkalpavad, Nirvikalpavad, so it is not. So thus, when we cannot say the Atma experiences itself and its sorrow, so Kshanika Vijnanavadi goes away. Then the Tarkika says, he comes. Acharya's interpretation is wrong, he says. What interpretation? Jivatma is free from sorrow and identical with Paramatma is wrong. That's what the Tarkika says. Because in Tarka Shastram, we have established that Atma has sorrow. Sorrow means raga, dvesha, sukham, dukham, all that. All these belong to Atma. Acharya argues, who will accept Tarka Shastra? It is full of loopholes and mistakes. He straight away condemns Tarka. It is full of loopholes and mistakes and points out some of the mistakes. We will briefly mention some of the mistakes only. The first mistake is, Tarkika says, Atma is Nityaha. Saro is Atma's Guna, property of Atma. So Atma is Guni and Saro is Guna. And says Gunam and Guni are inseparable. That's what they say. Acharya asks, how can Anitya Dukkham be there in Nitya Atma all the time? Because Dukkham is Anityam. Atma is Nityam. How then Anitya Dukkham can be there all the time along with Atma? If they are inseparable, if Atma is Nityam, Dukkham also should be Nityam. This is not so. Therefore, he says, Anitya Saro cannot be one with Nitya Atma. This is the first loophole. And then according to Tarka Shastra, Atma is known through inference. In fact, they use a series of inferences to arrive at Atma, which we will not go into actually. That is Tarka Shastra. So let us have this much. Atma is Anumeyam. Anumeyam means inferred. And he says Atma has got Dukkham, which is Pratyaksham, directly experienced. how can a pratyaksha guna belong to an anumeya vastu? That is the second loophole, because anumeya vastu is inferred vastu. So final loophole is, Acharya says, final loophole means in our discussion, very discussion of sorrow in Atma itself is wrong. Tarka Shastra has got interesting approach. They say that Atma is Jadam. When all-pervading Atma enters in contact with mind, awareness comes. How does it come? Atma joins mind. Mind joins sense organs. Sense organs join objects. Out of that, Jnanam comes and Sukham, Dukham, they are gone. So this is their argument. Once knowledge, sorrow, etc. are born, they should belong to something. They say there are property. You know, Jnanam is a property. Happiness belongs to property. The property should belong to some substance. Whether it belongs to objects, whether it belongs to sense organs, mind, Atma, Dukkham comes. This Sukham belongs to what? Tarka Shastra says, sorrow and pleasure join Atma, even though they are cooperative production. This is Tarka Shastra. And Shankaracharya says, all these arguments of Tarka Shastra are, he says, stupid. He says, Atma can never join mind. Tarka Shastra has made a rule that combination is possible between two things which have forms. Combination is possible only between concrete things. Space not being non-concrete, cannot combine, space is non-concrete, cannot combine with anything. This is law of Tarka Shastra. Tarka Shastra itself says Atma is formless. So Amurta Dravyam is Atma, that's what they say. So it is illogical to say Atma joins mind. There is no question of production of Dukkham and joining the Atma. Tarka Shastra cannot be accepted. So when Nayayika was refuted with this argument, then the Jaina philosopher came, Jainis, they came into picture. And they contend with this, maybe I conclude. When they contend, if you take Atma as formless and all-pervading, then alone problem comes. Therefore, accept our philosophy. Atma is not all-pervading, it is not Amritam. Atma is, you know, it pervades within the body only. Size of Atma is the size of the Shariram. Atma is limited to the body. So, Sharira Parimanaha, so Madhyama Parimanaha. Any measurement between smallest and biggest is called Anu and Vibhu. This is in measurements. All those in between, Anu and Vibhu, are called Madhyama Parinamaha. So, he says that Atma also is Madhyama Parinamaha. So, Shankaracharya refutes Jainis also very briefly. He says, if Atma has form and shape, Atma will be perishable, anityam. Because our experience is that everything with the shape and form has beginning and end, including the sun, Surya. Therefore, everything that has beginning will have an end. Yet sa avayavam tat anityam ghatavat. Shankaracharya tells the Jainavadi also. So, unfortunately, Jainavadi says Atma is nityaha. This fundamental philosophy is not only Jainavadis, but also the atheistic philosopher like Sankhyas, Nayayikas. They all say Atma nityaha, and Acharya says if Atma is nityaha, that is their Atma. We should be careful, not our Satchinanda Atma. If Atma is nityaha, it should be nir avayavaha also. If sa avayava is there, it should be anityaha. Hence, nityat mityatvam and sa avayavatvam, they cannot be. Nityatvam and savayatvam cannot be together. So nityatvam is eternity. And sa avayavatvam means the forms. They say that there are some exceptional cases. They argue still further. There are some exceptional cases where there are forms which are eternal. They give the example of vajram, diamonds. This idea of Jainis is a misconception, because diamond has been formed long, long before. It takes a lot of time to form, and it is one of the hardest substances which cannot be easily destroyed also. So he does not see the origination of the diamond, and he thinks it is nityaha. It is sa avayavam and it has shape and form. Shankaracharya says, he contends nityatvam and sa avayavatvam never go together. Shankaracharya answers, anityatvam, perishability, need not be always proved through perception. One can do that through inference also. Perishability can be proved by inference. It is exactly like the sun god, sun. Surya. No scientist has seen the origination of sun, nor will see the destruction of the sun also. But still they predict destruction by inference and reasoning. So Shankaracharya says that I am using the same reasoning that none has seen. Therefore, we can extend this law to every object in creation. Surya is perishable because it has form. Extending the logic, Acharya says that Vajraha is anityam, Vajraha diamond is anityam, and concludes your Atma also is anityam. So with this, the Jaina's argument is also refuted. And with that, the Pravesha Bhashyam is over. One of the very popular Bhashyas, very long Bhashyas, which is in various Upanishads, but in Brihadaranya Upanishad, it's only Acharya, you know, dwells on so much time to explain that. So in the first Brahmanam, the Agni Brahmanam, we had the introductory Bhashyam called Sambandha Bhashyam. And in the second Bhashyam, the Agni Brahmanam, we got Ghata Bhashyam. In the third Brahmanam, Udgita Brahmanam, we have got Pramana Bhashyam. Actually, Arthavada, we went through all that. And in the fourth Brahmanam, we saw Pravesha Bhashyam. Now we will continue the rest of the shloka. Actually, we have not completed the seventh mantra. We took only up to Pravesha only. The rest, the second portion is still there. I think if I take now, it may take more time. So I'll conclude for today and we will continue in the next webinar. यो वेदादौ स्वरप्रोक्तो वेदान्ते च प्रतिष्ठितः तस्य प्रकृतिलीनस्य यः परः स महेश्वरः श्रीकृष्णार्पणमस्तु नारायणः.